As I was thinking a little bit about some of the things that these teams are doing, and some of us might think, well, it's no big deal, right? It's fine. Well, just think about if you were tasked with getting up and giving the announcements, or if you were tasked with getting up and singing, how would you feel, right? This is a very bold thing for a lot of these teams to do, and they did it very, very well. And I think something that we can all see, something that really stood out to me tonight, is their heart for God. And something that I don't believe is very common, to have so many teens with a very evident heart for God, to look for what he's doing, to trust God for what God is doing in their lives. And that was a blessing to me personally. So thank you guys. Appreciate your work in all the work that you put into this, and then also in encouraging all the people out here in the auditorium, as we have talked about multiple times in youth group as well. If you would turn your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 1. It's back where we did our scripture reading, Philippians chapter 1. And today's going to be a little bit different, as you can see on the screen. I'm not going to be talking about, we're not going to be continuing our Colossians series tonight. What we're actually going to do is transport you all into the youth group on Wednesday night. And I do have a confession to say, though. To the teens on Wednesday nights, I call you all the old people in the auditorium. So I hope that it doesn't reflect on anything about your age or anything like that. It's just, you know, that's just what I call you, and it's just a generic term. So I trust that you will not be offended by that. I felt like I had to come clean there, though. So we decided that that today we're going to give the old people in the auditorium a chance to hear what the teens have been learning. We're going to get hopefully a little bit of help from the teens tonight to kind of help us through what our mission statement is. That's kind of what we've been talking about for the last couple months. What is our mission statement? What does it mean? And how do we live because of it? What does Elevation Youth mean? So before we get into it, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the encouragement that we've already received this evening. And thank you for the challenge that these testimonies, these songs can be to our hearts already. I pray that you would help us as we open your word, that you would help us to find something in your word for every single one of us tonight. And thank you that these truths from the Bible are not just for teens, but they're for every single one of us. And I pray that you would use the scriptures in every single one of our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, many times I think that we can assume that whatever the teens are learning in their teen youth group is just, well, that's something that I already learned in youth group, and so that's not something that I need to hear on a Sunday, right? It's not something that I need to hear in big people church, right? That's something that they're going to learn, or maybe sometimes youth group has the connotation of, well, you know, what are they actually doing there, right? Do they just play games the whole time? Well, to date, we have not played a game the whole time yet. We've come kind of close sometimes. But though we do enjoy having a good time, we obviously look at the scriptures, and we look to see what God has for us. And might I say that what God has for us as a youth group in the scriptures can be the very same thing that God might have for you, for me, today. It might be the very same thing that God has been working in our hearts about. And so what I want is for us to be thinking, yes, of course, what does what is the mission statement of Elevation Youth, and what does that mean for Elevation Youth, and how can we help them live that out, right? But at the same time, how can I personally, how can you personally live out this same mission in our own lives as a church? This should be something that we should be living out as a church as well. So let's look at our passage, Philippians 1, verse 20 and 21. Philippians 1, verses 20 and 21. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now, our youth group is called, we call ourselves Elevation Youth. All right, now, I need one of the teens to help me out here. What part of that verse, I made it really easy for you, what part of that verse shows elevation youth? What part talks about elevating Christ? Christ shall be magnified. Excellent. Christ shall be magnified. And so that is telling us, it's a little clue, a little hint, that what we are doing is elevating Christ, magnifying Christ, making Christ bigger than ourselves. And so in our very first lesson about elevation youth, we talked about what does it mean to elevate Christ? What does it mean to elevate something, right? And we had a couple different things that we said. Elevating something means that you are purposefully putting that thing above yourself. Elevating something means that that thing that you're elevating needs to be higher than you, right? And then, of course, like I said before, we need to be purposefully elevating that thing, right? So if we are elevating something, we have a very specific job. And our job is to make that thing higher than us, right? So when it comes to elevating Christ, when it comes to making Christ big in our lives, what we talked about was that elevating Christ simply means to make Christ the very first priority above anything else in our lives. Making Christ the very first priority above anything else in our lives. And we have six different principles that we can do that through. We can use these six different principles to elevate Christ. And a little hint for you here, the very first letter of each of them spells out the name of Christ. All right, so let's dive in and talk about what does it mean to be elevation youth. So first of all, we should elevate Christ through community. We should elevate Christ through community. And again, let me remind you that we need to be thinking of this not as the youth group's mission statement, but as something that all of us, every single one of us, should be striving towards. We should elevate Christ through community. Now, what's a community? Guys, you remember, what do we talk about when we talk about a community? Anybody? What's like a real world example? Yeah. Yeah, that's good. A group of people working together for a common goal, right? So you are all doing something together. So when you think about a community of living, right? You're all living together in this community, and you all have things in common, right? Now, as a body of believers, we are also a community, right? And something that we stress to the teens is that you can't necessarily be a community if you're not what? Together, right? You can't be a community if you're not together, if you're not involved in some way together, right? If you're not talking, if you're not fellowshipping, if you don't have something in common, then you're not a community, right? So how can we be a community? You can see on the screen there, we've got a couple things that we can be a community, and we call them our four C's, okay? First one is connect, okay? We can be a community by connecting. Now, talking about this specifically in youth group terms, as a youth group, we can connect with other people, and that sounds like a very low thing on the totem pole, right? Of course you need to connect with people. That doesn't really mean a whole lot. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. However, I would say that if you are not connecting with these people in the youth group, if you're not connecting with other people in the church, you cannot do the other things on that list. Right, you can't care for somebody if you don't connect with them, not effectively at least. You can't converse with other people, which we'll talk about in a second, is talking with other people about spiritual things specifically. Right? So if you don't know these people, then you're not going to be able to do any of these other things that are in our job description as Christians. Right? So we need to connect with each other, know each other's hopes, dreams, failures, the things that make us tick, essentially, right? And then after we connect, we can care for one another. We can care for one another. That means to be concerned about one another. Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We're not supposed to be thinking about our own things, our own lifestyles, because, of course, that's what we tend to, right? We tend to want to think about the things that make us feel good, the things that we want to do. But here, in Philippians 2:4, Paul is saying, look not every man on his things, his own things that he wants to do. Look every man on the things of others. That's what it means to care for each other. Now, part of caring for each other are the next two, conversing and chasing. Conversing is to talk to each other specifically about spiritual things. Now, it's all great and wonderful to talk to each other and to get to know each other, but if we're not talking about spiritual things as a youth group, as a church, what are we doing? Why are we even together? That's the reason, that is the thing above all that we have together, is Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so as a church body, we should be conversing with one another. And then another form of care is chasing. Now, chasing essentially means going after a group, three groups of people. What do you guys remember the groups of people? The lost, the fringe, and the wandering. Excellent. Now, please, explain every single one of those categories. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so the lost is pretty obvious. Okay, it's the people without Christ. All right, the people without Christ who are unsaved. The fringe are the people, we talk about this in youth group a little bit, the fringe are the people who you used to see and they're kind of on the outskirts maybe. They're not super committed. They're a little bit in and out. You don't really know if they're super committed. The wandering are the people who used to be there, used to be consistent, and now you haven't seen them for maybe a couple years. You don't see them in youth group anymore, right? So for us, we talk about chasing with a very real-world example. Anybody know what our real-world example was? Somebody help me out. It has to do with walking on something. Okay, does anybody know what we called our sidewalk? All right, so we called it the sidewalk of sanctification, okay? So let's just imagine for a second that you and your friend are walking on the sidewalk of sanctification in the Christian life, all right? And there is a ditch on either end, and your friend falls into the ditch off of the sidewalk of sanctification. All right, now, what is your job? If you're going to be expressing care for each of those, for that friend, are you just going to walk by and say, well, you know, I don't want to embarrass them, right? So I'm not going to help them up onto the sidewalk because then they'll know that I know they fell, right? Right, that doesn't make any sense, right? You're going to help them up if they fell. If they fall off the sidewalk of sanctification, you're going to lift them up so that they can be back onto the sidewalk of sanctification and you can go on together, right? That's what a true good friend will do, a true good Christian will do. And friends, that's what every single one of us should do for each other in the body of Christ. We should be helping one another. Chasing, we talked about, is not something that we are doing in a malicious attitude, right? The scripture says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We're not doing this in an attitude of self-righteousness. We're doing this out of an attitude of love and care for the other person. So, first of all, we should elevate Christ through community. Now, before we see the slide, one of our teens, please tell me what our second... Humility. We should elevate Christ through humility. 1 Peter 5:5 says this, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So we see, first of all, that humility is a universal command, right? Humility, first of all, is a command. It's not something that comes naturally to us. In fact, if we think about our natural disposition, our natural disposition is pride, right? Humility is not our default. So we need to be working on this command that we've been given because it's not something that will just happen. Humility is also the opposite of pride, right? If you're living in a prideful way, what does the Bible say? God resisteth, or God actively works against the proud. But he giveth grace to the humble. And humility also comes with a reward. But you say, well, this sounds impossible. How do I live a life of true humility? Pride is my natural default setting. There's no way that I can live in a way that pleases God. You know what God would say to that? Exactly, right? There is no way that you can live in your own strength in a way that pleases God, in a humble way. However, we can only live a life of humility by the strength of God. God wants to give us his strength. He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. So first of all, we need to elevate Christ through community. Second of all, we need to elevate Christ through humility. Number three, we should elevate Christ through responsibility. Responsibility. Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says this, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." And then he goes on to explain how that walk should look. "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So we need to elevate Christ through responsibility. So we talked about in youth group, what is our responsibility as teens, as a youth group? It's our responsibility to walk in Christ. Right? We're not just saved to do whatever we want to do. We're not just rescued from sin and slavery just to go back to doing the same thing all over again. Right? This is obvious. We know this. And so as Christians, we have a job. We have a responsibility. And so what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to be grounded in Christ. And so Paul uses these little illustrations here, rooted and built up. All right, so probably most of you know that tree roots can actually break through solid rock. And this process known as mechanical weathering occurs when the tree roots exploit tiny little cracks in the rock. And as the roots grow, they exert more pressure, gradually widening the cracks until the rock actually splits apart. And there's amazing, incredible pictures of trees literally growing right through the middle of a rock because of how the roots are able to take hold. And this is how Paul says we should be as Christians. We should be strong in our faith so that nothing can uproot us from following Christ. This is our responsibility as a church. This is our responsibility as a youth group, to be rooted and built up in Christ. Right? If we're not rooted in Christ, then being built up isn't really going to do a whole lot. Right? We talked a little bit about a building's foundation a couple weeks ago, right? And how important the foundation is. It doesn't matter how beautiful or technologically advanced your building is if it has a weak foundation. And so as Christians, we need a strong foundation in order to walk effectively in Christ. Be rooted and built up in Christ. That's our responsibility. Number four, we should elevate Christ through integrity. We should elevate Christ through integrity. 1 Peter 3:16, "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." So we talked in the youth group about how we should demonstrate integrity in our personal lives. We talked in the youth group about this question, and I would like to ask you this as well. Do you try to put on a show for God? Do you try to fool God into thinking that you're living for him when really you're just doing your own thing? You're coming to church and you look great, but really, you're just doing your own thing. This is a dangerous place to be. Soon, you'll begin to convince yourself that you're fine and that your sin struggles aren't really that big of a deal. They're not really that important. But before you know it, that sin you pushed into the closet will come tumbling out. Don't try to pretend with God. We need to live with integrity before him. So we need to demonstrate integrity in our personal lives. It's extremely important. But look at the last half of that verse. Whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. We must demonstrate integrity in the world. We need to represent Christ well to those in the world. We shouldn't allow a poor testimony to get in the way of other people coming to Christ. All right, so, a raise of hands. How many of you remember the Enron scandal of 1990? Okay, in the 1990s, I guess. Okay, so, a lot of people. Enron, for those, I had to explain it to the teens. So, Enron, for those of you who do not know, was this incredible, technologically advanced company, and obviously this is a very wide swath. However, it was considered one of the most innovative and profitable companies in the world. But fraudulent activity was found out, and they were lying on a lot of their records. And as a result, the company collapsed, and thousands of employees who had put their stock or their retirement savings into Enron's stock lost all of their retirement savings, all because of a lack of integrity on the part of Enron. You know, friends, the Bible says that whatever we do in secret will come out into the open. So we need to make sure that we have integrity even when no one is watching. So number four, we should elevate Christ through integrity. Number five, we should elevate Christ through service. Excellent. We should elevate Christ through service. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, the teens and I talked about what that word serve means, all right? And that word has a root word, doulos, all right, which in the scripture means slave. Okay, so we talked, what does that mean for us today, right? What does that mean? Well, we talked, what does a slave in Bible times do? Well, the slave in Bible times would serve whoever his master was. That meant doing the things that the master needed. It meant knowing who the master was. And it meant knowing what the master liked. Now remember what the verse says. By love, serve one another. That servant that I just described should be us for one another. We should be serving with no thought of ourselves, with no thought of what we would like to do. We should be serving one another. Now, we should be serving. Sounds great. But when that word one another comes in, oh, that means I have to serve so-and-so? You have got to be kidding me, right? It's all fun and games when you can serve whoever you want, right? Because you serve the people that you like. You serve the people that you want to serve. You serve the people who maybe give you a nice return on your investment. But this is not what the scripture tells us. By love, serve one another. We're supposed to be serving each other without thought of what we can get in return, without thought of how thankful they will be. We should be serving one another. Why? What's the big deal with serving one another? This sounds a little bit harsh, right? To be called a slave? Well, Philippians 2:5-8 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." This is why we should serve one another. Because Christ made himself of no reputation and became a slave, essentially, serving the people on earth. The perfect, righteous, almighty God came to serve the people who hated him. How much should we then go serve other Christians, other believers? We should serve one another. And lest you think that Christ had it easier, just remember what a mess we were when Christ came to save us. All right, so, last one, right? We should serve. Number five, we should elevate Christ through service. Number six, we should elevate Christ through truth. We should elevate Christ through truth. John 8, 31 and 32 says this, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we talked about in this verse, first of all, we need to know the truth. We need to know the truth. Right? Truth is not relative, as the world tells us today. Right? Truth is an absolute. And the truth, obviously, is Jesus, God's word. Right? We have the truth in front of us. So we should know the truth. Others may choose not to believe it, but that doesn't affect the reality that it is the truth. So we need to know the truth. Next, we need to live the truth. Right? We need to live the truth by doing what God's word says. Now, the danger is that a lot of times we know what the truth is, and we know how to live the truth. However, we talk about in teens that often we replace actually living the truth with knowing how to live the truth. And so we remind ourselves over and over and over about how we should live the truth. Except the problem is that we substitute actually living the truth with telling ourselves that we should live the truth. We make ourselves feel good by reminding ourselves of what it looks like to live the truth. So instead of saying that we should live the truth, we should actually live out what the truth tells us to do. So we need to know the truth, we need to live the truth, and finally we need to share the truth. Right? What good is the truth to us if we do not share it to others? Right? What good is it if we are standing here in our little circle of Christians and we're having a wonderful time fellowshipping and worshiping God, and there are those outside wandering around in darkness, looking for an answer? So we need to share that truth. We can't hold it to ourselves. Just as we are so grateful and thankful that we had the truth shared with us, so also we should be sharing that same truth with others. So there you have it. That is the Elevation Youth mission statement. We should elevate Christ through community, through humility, through responsibility, through integrity, through service, and through truth. Remember what we said at the beginning of this message. This is not a message just for the youth group. This is a message for all of us. This is a message for the church. All of us should be living out these principles in our lives. So, let me encourage you two things. All right? First of all, let's encourage the teens, the youth group, to live out their mission. Let's encourage them, now that we all know it, let's hold them accountable to live out the Elevation Youth mission. So everybody knows. So you guys are on the spot. All right? So let's commit as a church that we will together help Elevation Youth live out what they've committed to. But number two, let's commit to live out these principles in our own lives. Let's commit not just to encourage the teens to live out this, right? But let's commit that we ourselves will personally live out every single one of these truths in our own lives. All right, let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the encouragement of this evening. Thank you so much for the truth that's found in your word. And I pray that you would help every single one of us, that we would elevate Christ in our lives, that we would elevate Christ in the way that we live our lives, the way that we act, the way that we interact with other people. And I pray that you would help us not to just say that we know the truth, not to just say that we know how to live the truth, but help us, every single one of us, to actually live the truth. Thank you so much for how you will bless when we live out the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe the Lord's spoken to your heart. So as the musicians come and play invitation hymn, I would encourage you to talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord about what he is dealing with you about. Ask the Lord, is there anything that I've put above you? Am I elevating you above all? Or is there something that I have above Christ in my life?